when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're kind of shifting gears a little bit. Here's how we're going to do this. We got Sister Nancy coming on board. So just in a minute or two, I'm going to bow out. We're going to lay out. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lay out the topics that we're going to finish covering, and then I'm going to bow out. But we've been talking about, we're going to wrap up the topic between how the Jews, since there's been a Jew and a white person, Jews have always worked against against the white people, and they've always collaborated with any, they don't care what race, as long as it's not white. They're working with Red China, the 1.4 billion Red Chinese, and we talked about that. They're also working with the blacks to stir up racial hatred against the whites. They've been doing that, you know, for 150 years here, 160 years. They're also working with all these Hispanics from south of the border, bringing in not only just the Hispanics in Mexico, but Chile, Honduras, Argentina, anywhere. And they're bringing non-whites in from all over the world. So what they're doing, my point is, they're working with every race there is in the world to accomplish their goal. And what is their goal? The total extermination, the wiping off the face of the earth of all white people. So they're going, Sister Nancy and Sister Monica are going to cover that. They have, really right now, they're currently working with the Chinese, and they're working with these massive thousands and thousands and thousands of non-whites coming across the southern border into Mexico, into the United States and coming into Canada. And Sister Nancy's got some things she's going to cover. And also, Sister Monica is going to tell us about these bed and breakfasts and things like that in Canada. So, Sister Monica, if you will, why don't you finish up covering these subjects that we were talking about and then bringing on Sister Nancy. So go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. I'll try to make it brief, but this relates to everything we've just been talking about. So it has just come to my attention in the last couple of days. There's this new law or new legislation in the province of British Columbia, Canada, that is putting very serious restrictions on bed and breakfasts, you know, B&Bs. That people can have in their homes or you know, just attach their homes on their private property. These are, has for a long, long time, this is one of the favorite ways for people to, you know, stay in a place when they go traveling, is at these bed and breakfasts, B&Bs. Well, there's some serious restrictions on that. I was trying to figure that out from reading the actual legislation. And the legislation starts like this: because of the housing crisis we are having in British Columbia. And the first thing that pops into my mind is, why are we having a housing crisis? Our own birth rate is really, really low. And but, you know, you talk about these new Canadians, or in your case, new, new Americans, you know, and you go to Vancouver and my goodness, you know, parts of it, you think you're in China, or other parts, you think you've gone to India or Pakistan or whatever. So yeah, there are a lot of people being brought in. And I'm telling you something that has really come to my notice. Whenever I've traveled anywhere within my own province here or in Alberta and stayed in a motel or a hotel, I've noticed since years already that they are being run and owned by not white folks, but generally speaking, mostly East Indians. Okay, so East Indians. Why do they have this propensity to run and have all these motels? And it's the same everywhere. Like, they, it's like they're specialized in that service. Is it because that that just happens to be their strength or whatever. It just came to me in a flash this week, the reason for it, especially when I heard about this restriction on the bed and breakfast that you can't have them anymore. You have to have like minimum 3 months stay. Well, how does that make sense? It doesn't make sense for a vacationer, right? So they're, because of this housing crunch, they want to make these suites be permanent residence or semi-permanent residence for all these new Canadians. Okay, then the hotel industry being taken over by all these non-white people, and they all still have their accents. Many of them don't even speak English or whatever. So I just thought of this, that, oh, the housing crisis, and oh, the 15-minute cities we're all supposed to be locked into. Nobody's going to be traveling anymore. And guess what? Maybe all these motels and hotels can be turned into new homes for all these new Canadians where there's a housing crisis. And in fact, that's not so far-fetched, because that happens already on a sort of a localized basis. I've heard of lots of motels and hotels that have been utterly trashed, where they had to dedicate, you know, certain places, certain wings of hotels or motels to all these migrants that had to be housed. And the next thing you know, these places are trashed. So yes, that's not such a far-fetched idea, that maybe the government will come down with the hammer and say, okay, no more traveling anyway, and we need housing, and here you go. You got to convert to this is housing now. So that was what came to me this week. I just thought, why are they all owned by these East Indians? Well, it'll be easy for them to do that, won't it? Because they're not loyal to us here. They could just be told, this is what you got to do, and they'll say, okay, no problem, and they'll get rich off of it, right? So that'll be the new scheme, and we'll pay for it all anyway. That's just my thoughts on it, what's going on here. But the thing about the B&B, that's real. There are restrictions coming down on that, on the B&Bs.
Yes. And Sister
so,
Nancy,
anyway, over to Nancy. Yeah.
I tell Sister Nancy this too, Sister Nancy, here in Memphis, and it's just like anywhere you go in Memphis, Tennessee, every square foot, every lot has been built on, and they're building these 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 story apartments everywhere. There's hundreds of apartments everywhere. There's oceans of them. They're gobbling up the local, what used to be areas you can hunt, own, you know, bird hunt, squirrel home, whatever, fields, growing crops. It's being covered up with just apartments expanding like crazy. And we're saying, where are all these people coming from? Well, I think we know where we're coming from, but that's more food, more food for thought there, Sister Nancy. How are you doing, Sister Nancy?
Almost perfect.
Great. Well, so you know the story. We just laid the table. We just set the table, and you go ahead and serve up the food.
Well, I've got several topics, but with reference to what Monica was talking about, I can assure you that for years, the Pakistanis and Indians have owned hotels and motels in America for generations. I'm not generations, but for many years. I mean, I know this because in my traveling, you run across these places, and a lot of them are not exactly, you can smell the curry before you enter the front door. So that's the way it goes, yeah. I guess I could start out with talking about tar and feathering, which we try to do every week.
Sister Nancy, let me ask you one question before you go to tar and feathering. This is a question. I know you have no way of knowing this, but I'm asking your opinion because you're a smart little lady. Do you think, why is it all these East Indians, these Pakistanians, why is it them? Why is it not people, say, from Germany, France, white people from South Africa, white people from Switzerland? Do you think that the Judaic government here in the United States, do you think, remember, they're going over and searching these specific people to bring them over here for a nefarious reason? What do you think about that, Sister Nancy?
Well, let's put it this way. Years ago, and it's probably the same case now, the Small Business Administration would not help my father in a small business. But they do help. They would help blacks. And I'm only just assuming that there is some kind of connection with these Pakistanis and Indians in the motel business. And also, they own a lot of gas stations. There's something that compels them and helps them. And I'm sure it's our tax money that is helping them. To own these properties, the man in the street, the white man, probably have a rough time buying a hotel or a motel. These are mainly cheap motels that my experience that they own or they run. And they sometimes pretend that they're not owned by Pakistanis by having a Gentile operate the front desk. But it's real common, very common, for Pakistanis and Indians to own hotels and motels and gas stations all over the place. But
here too, the gas stations, Nancy, the gas stations here too. Yeah,
it's
very, very dominated by the...
It's another federal scam. You can be sure of that. Some kind of a help that we're giving specifically to. Go ahead.
It makes sense if you put it into the scenario that I just painted. That when they really want to, and it's not to fearmonger to people. No, it's to open our eyes, and we got to resist this every way we can. But when their intention is to kind of lock us down into concentration camps that they call 15-minute cities, and they're going to make it sound really good, but that means you're not going to travel anymore, or you need some, you know, a letter from God to go travel anywhere. And so if these foreigners are in the ownership of everything that has to do with transportation and then staying somewhere, like motel industry and then the gas stations, well, it'll be easier for them to implement this, won't it? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Blood River Radio sisters, we have to take our first break of the second hour. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Be right back, baby.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Yes, sir, that napalm up, that's better than Chanel No. 5, folks. Anyway, we're going to go right back to our mean, big old mean sister. It's been a while since she's had her big stick, but I noticed she's got a great big old stick tonight. It's got a big, huge nail in it, too. Anyway, so we're going to go back to Sister Nancy, the one and only bell cow. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. This is kind of something that's happening here in the state of Kentucky. I mean, people are going absolutely wild, according to the Kentucky governor, Beshear, and the Louisville new Jew mayor, Greenberg, we have become the state that has been afire with anti-Semitism and anti-Jew attacks. It's absolutely laughable. You know, this whole state is going up in flames with anti-Semitism. The whole state only has about between 12 and 18,000 in the entire state. And most of the counties, I was trying to look this up today, I would dare to say that most counties in the state of Kentucky don't even have one lousy Jew in the county. But according to our governor, we are the hotbed of anti-Semitism, and they've got to do something with it, something with us. This is an anti-Jew attacks are in the millions in the state of Kentucky, apparently. But anyway, back to more rational thinking. We'll talk about tar and feathering, and you were both talking about respect for our ancestors, and I want to bash this no good senator Elizabeth Warren with a whole lot of hot tar and filthy feathers, because she is one of the antagonists who has pushed for the anti-white, anti-Southern changing of the names of the American forts from Confederate names to, the names of probably gays, but she's also instrumental along with the running dogs at the Department of Defense for the destruction of the magnificent Reconciliation Monument in Arlington, which as of today is probably down. And I think Gene and I will probably follow up with some of that in the next hour. But again, yes. I want to brag about Republican Representative Thomas Massie, who has the intelligence and the courage to defy the Israeli lobby. Please call him and commend him and thank him. He needs all of our support. His number is 202-224-3121. If you can't do anything
call out again, Sister Nancy. Give that number out.
202-224-3121. If that is the only thing you can accomplish in the next few days, tell him you support what the courage and the guts and intelligence he has to be the only Republican to stand up and defy the Israeli lobby. I want to go over a
quick question, Sister Nancy. This is one quick question. Now, what do you think, and what are the odds are that after the next election, he will still have his position?
I just hope he still has no, you know, I'm not going to say any more than that. I hope in Kentucky, he's probably going to be accepted. But they're going to come up with some scandal. I'm sure they're digging up all the dirt they can on Representative Thomas Massie right now.
Well, they're assassinating.
Or they'll make it up, Nancy. They've been known to make up stories, right?
Yeah. But the ongoing genocide in Gaza, thanks to the U.S. taxpayers, is at the moment about 20,000 dead, 50,000. These are seriously wounded people. 90 journalists have been targeted and killed by the Zionists. And our vile country continues to veto any ceasefire due to fear of the Jews. Now, there was an amendment or a bill that was just recently passed in which we allowed this bill to pass because it had nothing to do with ceasefire. It was about allowing aid to go into Gaza. But here's the thing, because we would not have voted for a ceasefire. How would you like to be a UN volunteer on a truck distributing aid in Gaza while there is no ceasefire? The chances are you're going to be killed or your truck's going to be bombed, you're going to be shot at, trying to distribute aid in Gaza without a ceasefire. And this ceasefire, they left it out due to the U.S.-Mexican standoff. In other words, we will not vote for a ceasefire, but we would vote to allow aid into Gaza. But these UN drivers are taking their lives in their hands to go into Gaza with these big trucks to distribute anything into Gaza. So it's just, it's very dangerous, let's put it that way. I want to talk about a couple titles of articles from American Free Press. I do receive it, and I think it's a great publication. And guess who's on the front cover of the American Free Press under the title America or Israel First? Thomas Massie, the GOP Representative Massie, vilified for supporting America over Israel. On page 17, the title is Palestine Without Palestinians, Israel's Plan for Ethnic Cleansing. Now, this is a comment that was made by a U.S. She's a Francisca Albanese. She's a representative of the UN Occupied Territories. Now, this is in quote. She says, Israel cannot claim self-defense from a threat that emanates from a territory that it occupies, from a territory that is kept under belligerent occupation, end of quote. How can it be called a claim of self-defense?
It's funny if he wasn't so damn sad.
On page 18 of the American Free Press, listen to this. We know that America is involved in bribery of Egypt and Jordan, but EU is bribing Egypt and Jordan to push for the transfer of Gazans. And that's what the whole, this is all about. I mean, they want to eliminate Gaza and just take the people and send them into other countries, and they will have no right of return. On page 20, the Israeli leaders vowed
to
assassinate.
That's the key right there. I don't mean to interrupt, I just wanted to interject. That's the key right there. They wish to that all the remaining Palestinians, those who have not been murdered and killed, to be relocated everywhere else in the world. Don't they?
Sure, and they also want to take the gas. That's okay. They want to take the gas that's out there in the ocean. That's another move that they have made during this so-called war. They've signed 12 licenses for drilling. But on page 20, I'll just end this by saying the Israeli leaders, this is in quote, this is a title of an article by John Friend. He says, Israeli leaders vow to assassinate members of Hamas in any nation they are living across the globe. Now, are they hiding the fact that they're going to assassinate people all over the globe? Of course, we've been doing the same thing too, but the Israelis have the guts to put it in public, in print, that they are going to go to any nation and assassinate these so-called Hamas leaders any place across the globe. Now, we know that they have killed Iranian scientists, assassinated them in their own country and in other Arab countries. But could we get by with the same statement and saying the U.S. is going to assassinate XYZ in any nation across the globe? Probably, you know, there'd be some kickback, wouldn't there?
Sister Nancy, I have a question that's burning to ask you. Okay, the Jews have vowed to assassinate Hamas leaders, no matter where they are, no matter what nation that they're residing in, Japan, Canada, United States, etc. Will they start? How long will it be before they start assassinating pro-Palestinians? Pro-Hamas people, so like us, that we're actually doing the same thing without guns that Hamas is doing. When will they start assassinating people like us, Nancy?
Well, you know, of course, we don't know. They've probably been doing that. It's just not been made very clear to us.
Well, we got to go to a quick break, Sister Nancy. We'll come back to you as soon as we can do this break. Be right back, folks.
Program. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Skip Kelly. Intense clashes erupted in northern Gaza today as Israeli forces seek to establish full control of the region with the goal of concentrating efforts on Hamas fighters in the south. These renewed hostilities follow a day after the UN Security Council's call for increased aid to Gaza, falling short of explicitly demanding a ceasefire. Israel's chief military spokesman reported on Friday that the country's ground troops have nearly secured total control of northern Gaza and are gearing up to extend their offensive into the southern areas. California's Secretary of State, Dr. Shirley Weber, is approaching a request to exclude Donald Trump from the presidential primary ballot with caution. While acknowledging concerns about Trump's impact on public trust, Weber emphasized the importance of adhering to the legal process. The request was made by the lieutenant governor in response to the Colorado Supreme Court's decision, citing a violation of the Constitution's insurrection clause. Weber highlighted the necessity for decisions in California to align with state laws and the Constitution, noting that Trump is the leading Republican nominee in the state. On Super Saturday, over 140 million individuals are anticipated to engage in last-minute Christmas shopping.
This is part of their gift from mommy to them. We've spent a lot of money because I got last-minute tickets for everything.
No, I did not stay on budget. No.
But it's okay. Once a year, who cares? I'll be in debt for a little bit. Who cares?
The National Retail Federation says 37% of Super Saturday shoppers plan to finalize their online purchases and venture to physical stores to ensure timely delivery of their gifts under the tree. Medical professionals advise exercising caution as families gather for the holidays.
Dr. Marina Kellner from Westchester Medical Center highlights the increasing numbers of COVID cases, along with a surge in flu and the respiratory virus RSV. COVID hospitalizations in New York State alone have shown a steady rise, with over 2,200 reported this week compared to 1,200 during the Thanksgiving holiday period. I'm John Schaefer.
This is USA News.
I've got a unique vacation idea for you that's right here in the United States. If you're ready for a vacation that's fun and downright affordable, listen up. It's driving distance for many of you, so no planes, no airline delays, no hassles. It's Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the Midwest. Live music for everyone. Branson has three beautiful, enormous lakes, water attractions, live shows, great food, and tons of entertainment. It's a perfect vacation for you and your family, or if you're retired and you want to have a great time. And you can stay in Branson for as low as $99 a night. Please understand, this is not a timeshare offer. It's a real vacation for as little as $99 a night. We've got a free vacation guide we want to send you right now. All you have to do is call for complete details. Get your free Branson, Missouri guide right now by calling this number.
800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. That's 800-399-4215.
Dear Blood River Radio family, without wasting any more time, we're going to go right back. We've got to get that train going that Sister Nancy's got going. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
I was just saw part of a YouTube in which Judge Napolitano was questioning an authority. I think his last name is Giraldi, about will there be any, will anybody be brought up and be convicted of these crimes, these war crimes. Well, Jew war crimes, but of course we know that we have committed numerous, innumerable, uncountable war crimes. And this man said, no, there'll be no war crime convictions. But what will happen, according to him, which is really heartbreaking, he said, oh, this will go in the historical record so people can read it in the past. In the future, they'll be able to read what happened. I mean, that's heartbreaking to think that they'll, yes. You know, we're sitting on watching this genocide, but there'll be nobody will be convicted of war crimes. There's no way we can stop it. And the only thing is that in the future, they can read about it. Isn't that something, that's a slap in the face of these people who are suffering, really. But you know what?
Nancy, what was it that Adolf Hitler said about if if there was to be a state of Israel in Palestine, which wasn't the case yet at that time, but he said something about it would become a university for budding criminals and a safe haven for, or how did he put it again? You probably remember that, right? So earlier you were talking about assassins. Well, they just go back to Israel and they have safe haven. We can't touch them there, right? Nobody can touch them. They are completely safe to do as they choose, both abroad and in Israel. So to have an accounting for their criminality, are you kidding? No, they're being praised over there. They're being celebrated over there by their own kind.
And the stomach turning thing is our politicians are praising them too, the high sky. Yeah. But, you know, talking about the
unbelievable,
the Pakistanis and talking about the Indians, I have to say this. This is from American Free Press, but I mean, I have watched him a couple times on his debates. And I'm going to say this. Can a Hindu, Vivek Ramaswamy, be a better Christian leader of the U.S. than the other neocon candidates, such as warmongering Nikki Haley? Now, Vivek referred to Nikki Haley as Dick Cheney in high heels, or Dick Cheney with lipstick, and I agree. I would tell you the truth, I know she's also Indian, Pakistani, or whatever, but I tell you the truth, I think when you listen to Vivek Ramaswamy, he has a higher standard of morals than probably Trump has. That's what I'm going to pitch out. If he's telling the truth, he is a Hindu, but he certainly seems to be a very moral man. I mean, I know I'm switching railroad tracks there. But and back to we were talking about these prisoners. I received something that really made my day yesterday. I received a most beautiful 8x12 watercolor from Vincent Renard in Scotland.
Oh, wow.
It's really beautiful. Wow. He was showing me, he painted, actually it's a painting of a cemetery with a cross. And he says, oh, I like cemeteries. And I wrote him a note back yesterday and saying, yeah, I like cemeteries too. I spent a lot of time doing family research and Confederate research in cemeteries. But it was a beautiful watercolor. He wanted to point out how he had learned in school perspective drawing. So that was what he was showing me.
That's great, Nancy. Yeah, when you say we were talking about political prisoners, we were actually talking about that in our break, so the listener won't know that we talked about political prisoners. But since we're on that now, I'll just say that I yesterday was absolutely delighted to finally get a letter from Philip Hassler, who is the Austrian musician who has been sentenced with 10 years for wrong mouth noises, as he puts it, you know, for the words in his songs. And we had a wonderful letter writing correspondence, and then I got concerned that they've cut us off of being able to correspond, but I didn't hear anything officially about that. But I had written him, you know, back in July, I never got an answer. Then I wrote again in September or October. Then I never got a reply. Then I wrote to the jail people themselves at the jail where he's being held and asked them for an explanation. And now I got a very short letter from Philip. So obviously when the jail people got a letter from me demanding to know what's going on, I know that Philip would write me back. Have you cut off the mail? You need to give me an explanation. They obviously went to him. He had to sign a form authorizing the host to answer my question, whether I'm still here, you know, and he was puzzled because, so I'm going to write him back and, you know, give him the dates and whatnot of when I wrote, because one direction or another, the letters have been cut, our correspondences have been cut. And then he does comment that now, his letters or the censors, the people who are checking his mail are in the Stasi. They are the Stasi from Vienna, he calls them. And they are no longer just going by what's illegal or legal, you know, like we're talking about these thought crimes that we have if we're disputing certain part of history. Well, I don't do that in the letters because I want the letters to get through to him. And we both know about that anyway, so there's no sense talking about that. So, but they say they don't let them through if something rubs them the wrong way. Just so it's really quite arbitrary. So then he says, I kind of laughed about this. He says, if you read this, please try to contact me. Just keep in mind that they're even more despotic now. So you're going to have to be twice as careful with what you write. You best stick to lambs and kittens, lambs and kittens, lambs and kittens. So I'm going to write them right away. But I, you know, they're it's just so completely arbitrary. And the Gentiles, if it's Gentiles, check the mail, they've been so re-educated, a la George Orwell style, that they become self-hating, you know, self, basically genociding agents of our own destruction. And, or possibly it's Jews in those positions of who's letting, you know, the censoring the mail. But I suspect it's just Gentiles, like ordinary Austrian people. But we've been so put under a spell of self-hatred and misplaced guilt, and this all comes from, you know, our history being erased and the severing of the ties between the generations, and, you know, just like we were talking about in the first hour. But back over to you.
Yeah, I'll make a quick comment. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just one quick comment. You know, and this has to do with Monica and I. We talked a few minutes before the program today, or maybe it was yesterday. You know how my memory is. But I threw out this thing. I've always talked about the Jew is the most dangerous, our most dangerous enemy. I've come to the conclusion, though, that it's the Judeo-Christian for several reasons. They were the most dangerous because there's many, many, many more Judeo-Christian Gentile white people than there are Jews, and that the Jew could not possibly accomplish everything they want without the acquiescence of these self-hating Judeo-Christians. I've just thrown that out there to you, Nancy, since we're going back to you. Who do you think is the most dangerous, the Jews or the enabler, they're enabling Judeo-Christian self-hating cucks? What's your opinion before you go to your next topic?
I would say that it could be, you may be right, it could be the Judeo-Christian. Christians are just as, they're certainly just as dangerous as the Jews. They're so embedded and so brainwashed. And that reminds me of something called the menorah.
Oh, great. We got to hear that. Great.
Well, this is right before Christmas, and we're talking about Christmas decorations. I'm assuming that some of the listeners have seen the lighting of the menorah in front of the whorehouse. I mean, the White House. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. The first time.
It's across from the White House in Washington, D.C. at the Ellipse. Now, they had a lighting of the menorah, and I looked this up. It's a candelabra used in Jewish worship, especially one with eight branches and a central socket used at Hanukkah. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. There's a total of nine candelabra sockets. And it ties in with their festival of lights.
Sister Nancy, we have to take our last break in the second hour. So hold on, we'll go right back to you as soon as we come back from this last break. Be right back, people.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio, just in case you're just now tuning in, we've got Sister Nancy, the bell cow, and we've got Sister Monica, Braveheart own, and we're going to go right back to Sister Nancy and make this brief comment. We were talking about hanging these big menorahs. Listen, just in case you've been around when this guy, he was the White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, a dual citizenship Israeli Jew. He was had dual citizenship, United States citizenship, and is a citizen of Israel in 1979. I remember when this happened. He was responsible for hanging a huge, the national menorah, not just a menorah. This was the national menorah, and they hung it on the White House lawn. It was so huge they had to use what we used to. When I was before I got drafted, I was used to work as a laborer, as an iron worker company, and we used what they call a cherry picker, and they would pick up these bundles of rebar steel. Well, they had to use a cherry picker. Remember this? To light this gigantic menorah on the White House lawn, and get this, people. But you damn well couldn't have a scene, a nativity scene. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, that's kind of where what I'm getting at. But I'm going to just clarify a couple things here. The ancient menorah, because I talked about the one that said it has 9 branches. There was an ancient menorah that had 7 branches, one for each day of creation, and it burned in the temple in what was then Judea. It was a symbol of Judaism and an emblem of Israel. Now, the court has stated that a menorah is a religious symbol. While there has been so many of these left-wing and communist and agitators who have been agitating for years against the display of the nativity. I researched some of that, and it says that today, now this is years ago, the ruling that came down was that you could display a nativity or a creche as long as it was joined with other symbols such as Santa Claus, a Christmas tree, some other decorations, which, in other words, it didn't have to apply strictly to only the creche. Well, my question is this. Since they put this gigantic menorah up just recently, is there, in front of the White House, is there a nativity scene? Now, I haven't been able to figure that one out yet, and I want to pitch out something else. The world's largest menorah is in Central Park. The world's largest.
God.
So that is what we're facing everywhere. The menorah can be put up as a damn religious symbol, while Christian symbols have to be subjugated to either the church, or if they are on government property, they have to also be tied in with other symbols which tie in with Christmas, that is not a religious symbol, but they can put up a menorah, which is the court has determined is a religious symbol. Well, I give you that, give it back to you all.
Go ahead, Sister Martha.
I'll just jump in here. Okay. Yeah. This is a blatant display of Jewish power when they are putting their menorahs up everywhere and forbidding us to put the nativity scene anywhere, and also to forbid the children to sing Christmas songs or put on a Christmas pageant like they used to always. Every year, children at the young, like elementary school age, would put together a Christmas show, like to tell the Christmas story. But that's not allowed anymore. It has to be something that embraces all the different diversity, of course, right? But here's something else, folks, that, you know, I didn't know this until quite recently, but pretty much every single one of these Jewish holidays or celebrations or, you know, whatever you want to call them, Hanukkah being among them, the history of them, these, where does it come from? They're all celebrating the death, the killing of Gentiles, the killing of non-Jews. And I don't know the details of specifically the Hanukkah one, something about a lamp that stayed lit for 8 days while they were slaughtering Gentiles or something like that. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I do know that it is about some slaughter or other of Gentiles. And this is what they then innocently say, oh, well, the Jewish children needed something to celebrate while all the other children were having their Christmas. Well, we wanted something too, so we can all say Happy Hanukkah, you know, and Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas and all that kind of stuff. But it's a blatant and naked display of Jewish power when they start putting their menorahs everywhere in our public spaces. And especially Absolutely. In front of our political spheres, like, you know, if it's in front of the political spaces or public spaces, wherever. Yeah. Okay. Back over.
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying. Here in Louisville, in Louisville, they had a menorah put up. And at first I thought, I'm going to find out where they put it. I thought they put it in front of the courthouse. No, what they did was put it in front of the Jewish Community Center. Well, that's more acceptable to me. But now, Kentuckians are running wild. We've got Kentuckians who are so anti-Semitic. I mean, they're just going wow. causing havoc in the state of Kentucky and Louisville. I mean, they're practically burning the city down. They're so anti-Semitic. It's just horrible here.
Well, you know, they had a group, what they call the Maccabees, and supposedly the Maccabees were a Jewish group, and they revolted. I don't remember exactly what year, but they revolted against the Greeks, and because supposedly the Greeks had desecrated their wonderful temple, the Jews' temple, you know. And it was kind of like they run this Hanukkah thing in this 8 days of lighting lights and Hanukkah stuff to celebrate the slaughter. The Maccabees complete a slaughter. They wiped out the Greeks who had come in and desecrated their temple. So you're absolutely right. See, once again, it's not just there tied to the rededication of their holy church or holy temple. It's dedicated to the slaughter, the wiping out of these white people. You know, the Greeks probably were the very first civilized white people. You know, the Greek culture is I would imagine the oldest white culture on the face of the earth. But yes, I know I'm repeating myself, but the revolt, the Maccabees revolt, I need to research that some more. It was a revolt against white rule, and they did what they did, slaughtered every man, woman, child, and slaughtered everything that lived that they could get their hands on. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
I don't know. Are they well? Anyway, that's another thing that unfortunately, do you think religious people, Christians, even know what is going on with these so-called celebrations that the Jews are celebrating? Do you think they know what's going on
with
these
care.
Celebrations?
No,
they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care.
No,
like
no.
I said, That as long as they wouldn't care how many men, women, children, dogs, cows that these stinking Jews kill. They do not care because they worship. These Judeo-Christians worship these damn Jews, and that's why I say they're more dangerous than Jews, Sister Monica.
Well, here's the thing, what I think, and that, yeah, I remember when you were saying that earlier, I had something in mind to say. You were asking which is more dangerous, the Jew or the duped Christian Zionists. And because the Christian Zionists are greater in number than the Jews, that and by de facto they are agents of our own destruction, like was said in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that, you know, the Goyim will become agents of their own destruction and this kind of thing. So yes, de facto they are kind of more dangerous to us in because, you know, they're carrying out this agenda that if it was just the Jews carrying it out alone against a wide awake populace, they would never be able to do it. But because we're in a war that involves psychological warfare, that's how the Jews are doing it, right? Is through deception, lies, an erasure of our own history, like we discussed earlier. But the thing is, there is one major difference between the entity called the Jews and the Christian Zionists, who are agents of our own destruction by going along and worshiping the Jews. There's a big difference. I think that the innate motivation, the innate character of a lot of these people, it is different from the Jews. They are not evil at the core. No, not at all. But they are duped. They are under the spell. And it goes for people within my own family. They're not Christian Zionists per se. That's not because they're not Christians, but they believe all the lies. I mean, there's relatives, there's, you know, and so many people in Germany who have been so re-educated, they are self-destructive now. They have this misplaced guilt. We have been put under a spell. Some of us have been able to break that spell, and we're helping to break the spell for more and more people. And I think more and more people have been rattled out of it since COVID, especially because they see that what a scam that is. But I think that we're not evil at the core. No, we try to do the right thing. That's why we're guilted so easily. That's where we're shamed so easily. We have a conscience. Mm-hmm. And so when we're told lies about our own selves and our own ancestors, we're made to feel guilty.
That's an excellent
point. It's misplaced guilt. Misplaced guilt. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's the big difference. So that's why it's so important for us to carry on with our truth-telling work. It is so critically important for us to tell the truth and shame the devil. Back over to you.
Sister Nancy, I have a question. Why is it, I know you're not a fortune teller, why is it that, like Sister Monica just said, you know, I'll kind of put some words in her mouth. Our white people have a fatal flaw of misplaced, I'll call it a pathological altruism. Why is this altruistic gene we have always, it's always focused on other races other than our own? We have the greatest sympathy of all for the blacks, the Hispanics, the downtrodden, the Chinese laborer building the railroads, et cetera, et cetera. But never in nary a bit of this sympathy for our own race. How about that, Sister Nancy? Why is that?
It's built into our DNA. We look at people, I see it in myself, I see it in my parents. It's part of our makeup. I see somebody needing help to get into a car, I want to help them. It's just part of us. It's destructive. It's going to destroy our people.
Yes.
This altruism is going to destroy us.
Well, Sister Nancy, we've run completely out of time. And God bless you, Sister Monica. Thank you for coming on hour one and hour two. We've got to transition to the third hour. Now we're going to pick up Gene, the bitter ender, Andrews. Hang on, folks. Be right back. Got to pick up the bitter ender.